Welcome to the Lighter Side of the Dark Side. It's your weekly freak show here on Renegade Radio and all podcast catchers, iHeartRadio, Spotify, YouTube, everywhere you listen and watch us. It's a Dark Mark show. I'm Dark Mark, the goth comedian. And as always, everybody's favorite horror writer.
Good evening.
Good evening, Nicole. I'm starting to think, and there's Trouble the Cat, too. My unofficial co-host.
Oh, what's the cat's name?
Trouble.
Oh, Trouble. Okay.
I think Zoom background is blurring him out, which is good because I think Trouble might be in trouble with the law, hence his name. So it's good that we blur him out. If he mouths, maybe he'll have like a voice thing. You won't recognize his voice. Anyway. Nicole, I'm starting to think we need to move to Miami.
What's Miami?
Well, the last time you were on the show, which was 3 weeks ago, and I'll talk about all the gaps in the show, we had singer-songwriter Alina Lowe, and we had such a great time with her. And now, straight from Delray Beach in Miami, we have the comedy singer-songwriter who has put out his new single that's sweeping not only this country, but all the countries in the world. He's so Euro, it's Salgarithm.
Ah.
Thank you for having me. Yes, our numbers in the UK have shot up in the last couple of weeks. It's been exciting to watch.
Really? I'm curious to hear why that is. And my first question, is it one word Salgarithm? Is it two words Salgorithm? Or is it Salgorithm?
One word, Salgorithm.
I've seen it stylized all three ways.
Yeah, we're just about to settle on one logo, but it's just one word, like Salgarithm. So it's supposed to sound like algorithm with S, because I'm Salvatore, and we spell rhythm like music rhythm.
That's nice.
I got it, Sal. You didn't have to explain it to me, but go ahead.
Well, I'm explaining it to the audience here.
Thank you. What are you going to say, Nicole?
I just said it was clever.
Yeah, that was my producer and friend Mark Bass's idea. He's the guy that I work with on this. He actually discovered Eminem from Detroit. The Bass brothers are a famous producing team. They've done lots of stuff, lots of Eminem stuff. That was Mark's idea.
It's a good idea. I was just goofing around. I do like it, and I think it's very catchy, and it's so catchy that your SEO might be messed up, because every time I put Salgorithm in there, it comes up algorithm. So
yeah, no, I've noticed that has been a little bit of an issue sometimes.
So the algorithm is screwing Salgorithm out of views.
How do you like that?
Yeah. Before we get going and get into a real discussion, I do have to say real quick, I've got bags under my eyes. I haven't been sleeping that well because I want to get my energy up Miami style for this interview, Trouble style. So I've got right here
the best energy drink. Nice.
Raise energy drink. Now, you're no stranger to working out and going to the gym, so you've probably seen this at gyms.
I have.
GNCs, and they don't have them in stores, but they sell them at gyms and GNCs for a markup, as they do most things in the gym. What you want to do is use the code that we have in the description of the show to get 15% off a case of Raise Energy Drink. This is the Galaxy Burst. It's delicious. It tastes like Fruity Pebbles. The best part of Raise Energy Drinks. Zero calories, zero carbs, zero crash. Get your case of Raise Energy Drink and get here. I'm going to drink it right now.
But
that's delicious.
Energy
drink. It tastes better than Red Bull, tastes better than Rockstar, Monster, all the bang and all that crap that you get in the stores. And like I said, zero calories, zero carbs, zero that's crash. Right. Get your pump up and get stay awake.
I know. It is very tasty.
It is very tasty. I know you like the Galaxy Burst, and you also like the Voodoo Fruit Punch flavor.
Yes.
I think the next one, I'm going to have to order the sour gummy worms so you can try those. So
I look forward to that.
Well, that sounds good. Sour gummy.
Mm. No, it's better than I thought. I was like, it's going to be gross, but it was actually pretty good. So get Raise Energy Drink and use our code. And we also have in the description, if I know that seeing your video, you don't have this problem, but if some guys might have a little problem in the bedroom. We are also sponsored by Eddie by Giddy, which is a device that will get blood flowing where you need it most. So now that we've got the shilling out of the way, you mentioned Eminem. You grew up in Detroit.
Yeah, grew up in Detroit and was fortunate enough to be around 54 Sound and FBT Studios, which was where he worked a lot. Very inspiring artist.
Are you talking Eminem or are you talking...
I'm talking about Eminem, yeah.
Because, I mean, Detroit, I mean, you know, we can go way back to the Iggy Pop and Ted Nugent days, but Detroit really, really, right before, you know, about the time I went to Woodstock 99, everybody was popping from there. You had Eminem, you had Kid Rock, you had Insane Clown Posse, you had all these basically white rappers coming out of Detroit. And you had the White Stripes, you had all sorts of things going on.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, you were right in the middle of that.
Yeah, you mentioned ICP. We were right in the middle of it.
Were you a juggalo?
We got called in to do a song with them. I had a band called Perpetual Hype Engine, and they did a remake of Let's Go All the Way. Let's Go All the Way. And that's my band in the video. We recorded the music for that track for them. And they brought us out to Los Angeles or Hollywood, and we made the video. It was really, it was a fun experience.
I remember that video.
We were almost going to sign with the record label, but around that time we started hanging out more with the people that produced Eminem stuff.
There's a famous beef between Eminem and ICP about that time, right?
The beef between them was a little earlier. Was a few years before that.
What was the beef? I didn't really follow, but I know that they were talking shit about each other.
Yeah, I think that's really was about it. You know, I don't think it was over anything in particular. It was just, you know, that's the way it goes with that genre of music. Sometimes, you know, it's very competitive. I think just because they were local hometown competing for that audience, you know.
Well, ICP broke first, like nationwide, and really broke Midwest and East Coast. We're in LA, and people here don't have no idea how big ICP is on the East Coast and in the Midwest. I remember probably around that time I was living in New York for a while. Everybody I knew under the age of 30 loved ICP. Mm-hmm. Didn't matter who it was, they loved them. And how did your band become the band that was in that video? You just because you were local Detroit guys?
That ended up, I'm friends with Mikey Clark, and he produced a lot of ICP stuff. I mean, he's produced a lot of stuff in general. Amazing person, great producer. But we've been friends for years. And we were actually working on some tracks with him. And he said to me, hey, you know, I'd like you guys to play the music for this ICP track. And that's basically how it happened while we were recording it. Violent J came in and he was like, oh my God, I love this. You guys sound great. And he wrote down like this record contract offer on a napkin, basically, to us. That's how that happened. We just from being friends with Mikey Clark.
Do I have to?
Go ahead, Paul.
I was gonna say, do you have like a dream collaboration, somebody that you're some band that you want to work with that you haven't had a chance to yet?
Oh my God, and there's a lot of artists that I would really love to work with. I don't have one in mind specifically, but there's plenty of artists that I'd love to collaborate with. You know, it's a newer thing for me putting comedy in my music. I come from rock metal bands where it was very serious, lyrically, lyrical content, angry sometimes. So this is new for me to make music that makes people kind of smile and laugh. And I enjoy that a lot. So, you know, I think, LMFAO, I would have wanted to do something with them. They're like heroes of mine. There's so many people now. Bo Burnham, I'm a big fan of him. I don't know if you saw his special called Inside. Ugh, was just amazing, very inspiring. And Jack Black, I actually had somebody from his camp reach out recently. So I don't know. We'll see how that goes. Somebody who works with him reached out to us.
Yeah, I wish you would have told me this. I live in Los Feliz, and I passed Jack Black on the street 2 weeks ago.
I did, really?
Wow. I kept looking at him, and he's got like a great beard now. I was like, that looks like Jack Black. And then I was going to say something, but my ex-girlfriend saw Jack Black in a bowling alley once in Tarzana, and he was a real dick to her, like made her cry.
Oh, wow.
To the point that Dave Grohl came over, and he was, I guess, bowling with him. Wow. And came over and was really nice to her and calmed her down. But that's very really emotional. Fine, I'm sure she called him on a bad day. I'm sure he's a cool guy. I mean, it's a weird thing. Like people, you know, how is it when are people recognizing you from the He's So Euro video now?
A little bit, not a whole lot. There's been a few people in Delray Beach when I go downtown that have noticed me because we filmed down there quite a bit.
Sure. Like when you're walking down the street in your Speedos and your flip-flops, or people that's the He's So Euro guy.
There he is. He's a Euro. Yeah. I get a little bit of that.
Yeah, I forgot to ask. I forgot to even mention that. So your band was Metal, the one that when the band that you had with Ice.
Yeah, Speedo, yeah. We were called Perpetual Hype Engine.
I've heard the name.
Yeah. It was a metal. It was a little bit of a mix of some styles, but it was pretty heavy.
Yeah. Right. New metal, I'm assuming?
Yeah, somewhat new metal.
I know nobody wants to say that now because, you know, it's kind of making a comeback, though.
It is.
Nothing to be ashamed of.
No, I agree with you, for sure. Not at all. And then after that, a few years I was jamming with John from Black Dahlia Murder.
That's great.
We had a group called Clone Factory. We recorded about 7 songs. Haven't released that yet, but that was a fun experience.
Are you going to release it? Because, I mean, you got this whole new thing going on.
I'd love to. You know, for me, I need one song to get out there. You know, I have so much, but it just takes the world to notice one song, and then they're like, "All right, what else you got?" You know.
I hate to harp on it, but you've been working at this for 20 years.
Yeah, for sure. I won't stop. You know, it's making music is what I love.
Do you have a particular song that you think has like that potential to really grasp the whole of America, or maybe bigger, go worldwide?
Say that again.
Do you have one song that you think is going to be big enough to grasp the minds of America or maybe the world, like something that gets stuck in our heads so we just think about it all the time?
I think He's So Euro is.
Yeah.
It's definitely stuck in my head. It's haunting me in my sleep. I can't get it out of my head.
I've had some people angry about how much that song got stuck in their head. Like, call me up.
Cole, you're going to have this stuck. It's Lamborghinis. Maserati's like, I want to fucking sleep. Stop.
Yeah, no, I think that's one that it's memorable. It's fun. You know, I like I said, we're doing good in the UK with it, number wise.
Maybe Cowboys on Camels will be the big worldwide hit. Or
Cowboys on Camels was planned to be the second hit, and it seems like it's also fun, but it's a little more serious, tiny bit. You know, if I was like
custom license plates. Now that one.
Oh, thank you, thank you.
I've only heard a snippet, but I'm sure that'll get stuck in my head too. Oh,
thank you, Mark. I appreciate that.
Now, Sal. Now, even though you are the singer of He's So Euro, you're not European. You're American, but you're of European descent. I am Italian.
Yes, Italian.
Full blood? Paisan?
Yes, sir. Yep, full blood. Yeah, I am of European descent.
Nicole and I are part Paisan. We're both
nice. So, Paisans.
Yes, Paisans. Hey, Paisans. So yeah. So,
it's fun.
What's a Now, what was it like besides the burgeoning music scene? What was it like living in Detroit when you grew up? Now, it's people hear Detroit, they think the worst. They think of just burned out buildings and just havoc, and ICP and Eminem and Kid Rock and all that. But they're nice places in Detroit.
Detroit's beautiful. Detroit's beautiful like any big city. It's got its, you know, its issues. That's funny you bring that up, because years ago I wrote a song called Don't Be Afraid of Detroit. Mm-hmm. And I ended up starting a whole like movement. I made t-shirts, and we used to go out to all the festivals. All the news channels had me on. And it's exactly because of what you said, Mark. Like, it gets a bad rap. And, you know, there are, of course, like I said, there's some dangerous areas in every big city. But so many people would come and visit Detroit and say, this is unbelievable. We were so scared to come here. We've heard such terrible things. And it's beautiful here. Like, we love it. You know,
Detroit, Cleveland, and Compton are nicer than you think.
Yes.
I've been to all three. And I was expecting the worst at all three, and they weren't that bad. But now you're living in Miami. Now, when did you move from Detroit to Miami, and what prompted that?
I'm in Delray.
That dog that just
grew up. Yeah, there's a dog here. There's a couple of them. I'm in Delray Beach, so I'm about an hour north of Miami.
Right.
And basically, Mark invited me down. The producer, he came down here, and he was living, and he says, "Sal, come on down." Well, it started as a vacation. It's funny. I came down for a vacay and hung with him and was having just a great time here. I love Delray Beach. And my birthday was about 2 days away. I was about to go home. He said, "Do you want to stay a little longer for your birthday?" I said, "All right, that sounds good. You know, I'll stay a little longer."
He's paying, right?
He was paying, yeah. And then he lets me know the next day he rented a Airbnb, 3-bedroom, huge backyard for my dog for a month.
Wow.
And ended up extending it for 5 more months. So I ended up living in this beautiful place. Was my first location here.
Okay, so it wasn't just for your dog. It's for you and your dog.
Yeah. It's for me and my dog. No.
Because here in LA, they have dog hotels. So.
Oh, wow. I never heard of that. Never heard of a dog hotel.
that's an LA kind of only thing, I think. They have, if you go away, instead of putting it in a kennel, they have actual dog hotels. Yeah, oh, wow. Nicole, back me up on this.
They do.
Like, if you ever go on vacation, you're going to put Trouble in the cat motel?
I don't know if he can handle it.
Motel, yeah.
He is Trouble.
He is Trouble. I don't know.
Yeah. I'm heading to Detroit myself in a few days. I'm going to bring my Bailey, who you saw in the video. She's going to have a stay at a doggy daycare for a few days.
Oh, nice. That's great.
Mm-hmm. No, it is. It's great to have a place and feel safe. You know, she stayed there before, but man, I miss her every time I leave her.
I miss my cat all the time.
Dogs,
people think it's weird.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, people think it's weird to miss a pet that much, but they're like family.
I'm the
people,
same.
People without pets think it's weird. People with pets, I completely understand.
Yes, you're right, Mark. Yeah,
and when I leave the creepy portrait of myself that's over my right shoulder, I feel bad, but we are all right. So, now you play guitar. Is it you play guitar? I want to kind of get where what you were doing in the band. Were you playing guitar? You were playing.
Yeah. I play guitar. I play a little bit of keyboard. I can keep a beat on the drums. But guitar has been my main instrument. That's the first thing I picked up years ago. My brother actually rented a guitar, for a week, and he wasn't into it too much. And I ended up picking it up just ended up loving playing guitar, loving making music.
Right. And who are your guitar influences?
He influenced back in the day. My brother used to play me a lot of like Kiss. Ted Nugent, as a matter of fact. I'm going to see Ted Nugent when I get to Detroit.
My sister, if you're going to see Ted Nugent, you might as well see him in Detroit.
Might as well. Yeah. So
and pack a gun just in case.
but Kiss was one of the big influence for me, for sure, musically.
That was Detroit Rock City.
course. Detroit Rock City. I had my brother and sister brought me to a concert when I was really, really young, and it just blew my mind. Their show was so theatrical. It was so loud. Like, seeing how they could affect this crowd and just make them go nuts, make them feel these things. It was just like, blew my mind as young as I was. And I just remember thinking, like, I just want to do this. I want to rock.
The favorite Kiss song?
You know, that's a tough one. Lately, it's Hard Luck Woman is one of my favorites. You be a hard luck. You guys are familiar with the Hard Luck
Woman? It's a hard luck
woman. Yeah, baby, till you find your man.
What's your favorite Kiss song, Nicole?
I don't know.
See, she can ask the questions she can't answer. Listen to this. Well, you put her on the spot.
Yeah, I mean, the thing about Kiss is, it's going to sound like a poser thing, but I genuinely like their main hits. Like, I like their catchy stuff that's on the radio, like, all the time, because you just feel good every time a Kiss song comes on.
Rock and Roll All Night, you know, that type of stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Like, I love that. I mean, I know all the words, and I can jam out to it. It's one of those songs that has been, it transcends generations. People all can relate to it. It is like the rock and roll anthem.
It really does, and I'm a Kiss fan, and I make no apologies for it. And I like a lot of, and trust me, I'll be the first to admit, Kiss has some songs that aren't exactly winners. Crazy Nights can kiss my ass, but King of the Nighttime World is a great, great song.
Well, that's a great one.
Oh yeah, and
I'm the king.
We had Kim Fowley here on the show before he died, and I got to meet that guy who produced that record, and it was amazing talking to him. Also, I even like the non-makeup stuff. I Lick It Up is a stupid song, but I love it.
Like Lick It Up.
I love Lick It Up. I'm sorry.
Lick It Up. Yeah, the Lick It Up is pretty sweet.
It's the dumbest song ever, but I love it.
Make it feel good, and that makes you feel good.
It is, yeah, it is a feel good song. I wrote, I had a group called the Kung Fu Lovers.
I was going to bring up the Kung Fu Lovers, yes,
because there's a song called "Story of My Life," which is on YouTube, and I mention them in it. I say, some girls I can't date because they just live too far. I'm a broke musician. I drive a shitty car. Yeah, I'm still a man trying to be a rock star. Oh, mama, don't let that boy pick up that guitar. I saw Kiss Live, Cobo 1978. They rock and roll all night. Now I party every day. AC/DC shook me all night long, and I lost my virginity to that Joan Jett song. I love rock and roll. All true. All
that's amazing. That is amazing. Those are some great lyrics.
Oh, thank you.
You got to write what you know. So when did the Kung Fu Lovers now? When did they come about? And there's a dance that the name escapes me, but there's
Wingling.
They had a big, huh?
The Wingling, maybe?
The Wingling. Yeah. The Kung Fu Lovers had the Wingling. Which
yes.
Is the, yes, that was the big dance song.
Yeah,
the Wingling did not sweep the nation, although it probably should.
No, but I love that song. it's a fun song. It was a fun video to make. It was a fun band to be in. I miss my Detroit. They're like my Detroit music family, and I miss those guys a lot. It's been a few years since I jammed with them. We've been talking about doing something again soon. But that group was going for about 4 years, 5 years, something like that.
And that's kind of when comedy started finding its way into your music.
It is. That's exactly when it started. And the funny thing is, you mentioned about me having the being Italian with the Kung Fu Lovers. I would get, sometimes people would say it's racist because it was a, you know, Asian.
Right.
We got a lot of flack for some of the stuff that was said. So it just feels good with Euro that I could go, hey, I'm European descent. you know, I can make fun of my own hairy back, you know.
Did you really get crap for that? I mean,
we got a lot of crap.
I mean, Asians aren't the only ones that do Kung Fu. I mean, I know.
We were making our video, The Wingling, and we had somebody go to the Eastern Market, which is this area in Detroit, the head of Eastern Market, and they complained because we were wearing the hat that is like,
oh, okay,
it's like a traditional gardening hat, but right, they were so angry and felt like for some reason, like unless we were of Asian descent, we shouldn't wear a hat like that, which just didn't make sense, you know.
Well, if you're of Asian descent, you probably shouldn't do that with your fingers, but you should be able to wear the hat.
I was trying to show you the hat.
No, I got it.
The light is kind of forming.
I'm just kidding, but
I know.
Yeah, that's weird. Yeah, I was gonna say your stuff is. I mean, I was gonna bring it up later, but can possibly? I mean, in this day and age, everybody's so hypersensitive.
For sure, and that's where that came from. You know, with the Kung Fu Lovers, Naked Girls, and Chinese Food was the name of the album.
Right.
And
nothing wrong with that.
No, nothing wrong with that.
And I love Naked Girls. I love Chinese food.
Me too. In the song, I didn't say anything about Asian women or anything. The song was called Naked Girls / Chinese Food, but a lot of people who were critics couldn't separate the two. And so there was articles that we sexualized women and all this stuff. And it's just, none of it was true. We were just trying to make people laugh a little bit, you know. That's really.
You were sexualizing women, let's be honest.
Huh?
You were sexualizing women.
Not Asian women.
Well.
I mean, I just said my tummy's very hungry. I need something yummy. I got in trouble because I said, I need someone sexy who looks just like you. I like you. that was the problem. Just
yeah,
like
it might have
you.
Been. Okay.
You know, and I get it. The world has changed and. The last
because Steel Panther had what was that, Asian hooker, and nobody said anything about that.
Yeah, no, I many artists, many,
or maybe people, they did. I don't know. I didn't really follow the discourse on Asian hooker by Steel Panther, but I know that's his and we're gonna compare your music to theirs because I think this is a path you're going down. But people are so sensitive now. I mean, I say people under 30 are so sensitive. On both sides, I've seen discourse now. A lot of the kids these days, and you know, we're a bunch of old farts. I'm saying, you know, we know about KISS. These kids these days, it's funny because I've dated a lot of women in their 20s, and now I'm getting older. People are like, what do you have in common with women in their 20s? I'm like, well, now everything. They like Kate Bush. They like Metallica because it's on Stranger Things. A lot of people are discovering Metallica because they're on Stranger Things. And I just read a thing on Google that said that people researched Metallica and they said a few insensitive things. And now they're like pissed. They're like, I bought a Metallica t-shirt and these guys are awful. And you know, it's like James Hetfield said this or that once and they're really pissed off. And then on the other side, there's people like, anything woke is sucky. Like I saw the new Predator movie, Prey, and I thought it was good, but a lot of people didn't like it because it's a Native American woman in the lead. So nobody can tolerate anything.
We have got to that point.
And you're coming out with
this weird backlash about Prey, the new Predator movie. And it wasn't about the fact that the Native American thing, it was the Native Americans were saying, this is something that's ours. Don't cosplay this if you're white. Like that's how much it's gotten to. Like, you don't,
well,
you
that, shouldn't. That, that's happening too.
Yeah.
That's happening too.
I thought that was really intense, you know, because like.
They don't want anybody to dress up as the
Native person, but I also don't think they would be trying to actively disrespect Native culture if they just liked the movie Prey. So it was a very tense thing to think about.
Well, if people are like, oh, we're going to cosplay as the girl from Prey for Halloween, you're like, no, you're white. You can't do that. So it's
exactly.
Like, you know, nobody can dress up as anything for Halloween. But on the other
lots
side, people
rules.
Are like,
lots of new rules.
On the other hand, people are like, how dare a teenage woman of color defeat the Predator? So it's like, you can't win.
That's stupid. I mean, again, not to go. I mean, she's okay. To be fair, the whole reason I kind of was a little torn about the movie to begin with, just because I didn't think that, not because of her color, but because she was a primitive person with primitive weapons, I thought it would be a little difficult for her to defeat the Predator. But if you're saying it just because of her color, that's stupid. That's not even a logical thing. But I I understand.
It's an alien that comes down and hunts people. It's not a logical thing.
No, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm saying that the person who thinks that two of the three people to face the predator were of color. I don't get that.
There's been more, but I don't want to get on this predator tangent, but it's a stupid science fiction action movie. Either you like it or you don't, and I liked it. So let's move on for Predator Salgorithm writes another song about Predator blowback. So now, in the midst of this political correctness, you've come out with "He's So Euro," which now you say. And Nicole, did you see the video?
Yes.
Do you think it's pretty accurate?
I think it's fun. I don't want to say it's inaccurate. I think that it shows a perspective.
If you see a really hairy guy wearing a Speedo, chances are he's European.
Yeah, I mean, there's like also other types.
These are gonna.
Well, but then again,
I don't want to say anything to offend anyone.
Well, I just said it for you. He could be Persian. He could be. Let's start with that. Why is the Speedo such a thing in Europe? Did you figure this one out? It's algorithm.
Well, I think it's just they're more sexually open.
They definitely are.
They're much more liberal when it comes to sexuality, and I think that's why. I hear nowadays that the dudes are wearing like dude thongs, basically. I've seen some pictures of some of the new stuff that they're wearing.
Oddly enough, I'm wearing that right now, but it's guys have been wearing dude thongs for a long time. I've seen guys in dude thongs. Now, Nicole.
Yes.
You're heterosexual, which I know is a controversial stance these days, but
I like women too.
I know you like women. I forgot you do like women. But you find some men attractive as well.
Yes.
So yes, I see. Yeah, you can't say anything. But anyway, as you said, so you find men attractive. So yeah. if you're on the beach and you see a guy that you find attractive in a swimsuit with their shirt off, you're like, wow, that's a good looking guy, right?
I don't want to go into who I've been hanging around with while they've been partially naked, but I catch myself staring. I like the penis. I enjoy the penis. I think it's an interesting thing. So
now if that's like if the guy's wearing shorts, you're like, wow, that's a good looking guy. If that guy's wearing a Speedo, are you still saying
part
that?
Of the V, where, you know, when you have the shorts right on your hips, I love that. That's hot as hell. But I think if it was a Speedo or a man thong, I would just catch myself staring inappropriately. Like, I would just be like, wow, you can see everything.
Wow, maybe the Europeans are onto something.
I think they might be, Mark.
Maybe they're onto something. Now, when you were in the video in your thong and you work out, you're in good shape. And I know a lot of the people were extras and maybe some weren't, but what was your reaction of you gallivanting in a thong when you were filming the song? You had a camera on you, but.
Yeah, no, there was a lot of reactions.
People are going to stare. They can't help it.
Yeah, exactly. That's what you're right. 100%. There was a whole lot of that going on in the downtown Delray Beach area when we were filming, and it was a lot of smiles. You know, that's the cool thing about this is a lot of people were paying attention, but I definitely saw a lot of people smiling. Something people don't see every day, you know, and I think that's a part of it. Everyone was pulling out their phones, you know, and I felt the same thing myself before I filmed the video. I was walking through Delray and I saw a couple, and she had on a bikini and he had on a all American red, white, and blue Speedo, and they were walking down the street. And I was like, wow, like, I just love it. I just thought it was so cool that people.
He had the red, white, and blue so that you know he's not Euro.
Right.
That's an all-American package right there.
He was now, showing the all-American package.
They call that an all-American prank.
Now, oddly enough, if I was walking down Delray Beach in a Speedo, there'd be a lot of vomit, not smiles. But Nicole, you might be thinking, well, what is the inspiration? Where did you get the idea for He's So Euro? I know this. This inspiration happened at the gym, did it not?
It did, at LA Fitness.
Tell the story, Sal.
Okay, I go to LA Fitness here in Delray Beach. And, growing up, you'd go into the sauna and you wouldn't wear anything. It's just the way it was. You were in the guy's locker room.
Essentially, in your arms.
So,
I grew up a little differently than I did, but I didn't go to a lot of sauna. Well, I was always with the towel, but that's just me.
A lot of arm strength.
I was commando in the sauna, and a gentleman sitting across from me was like, excuse me, sir, you must be from another country. I've never seen anyone naked in the sauna. And it just cracked me up. I laughed to myself. I said, no, I live right down the street, you know. But I like immediately left the gym, like when I was done, went straight home and wrote this song. So,
aren't you supposed to be naked in the sauna? I know at the gym that I go to.
It's okay to be naked in the sauna, but
you can't have clothes. You can have flip flops, but you can't have shoes. And you're supposed to be naked.
Sure.
You're supposed to have a towel on.
Towels, sit on a towel.
Sit on a towel. Well, I mean, towel around your waist, presumably you're naked underneath, I would think.
Presumably, yeah.
When I go to the sauna, I wear a towel, but I'm naked underneath. You don't wear you're not supposed to wear clothes in the sauna.
No, it doesn't make sense, but some people do. So that's how that started, you know. And then the nude beach, we actually do have a nude beach about 40 minutes from here. It's one of the top 10 nude beaches in the world, called Halaba Nude Beach.
Now, do you frequent the nude beach?
I went there. I wouldn't say frequent it, been a little busy lately, but I've been there and I loved it. Mm-hmm. I thought it was very cool. I remember the moment that I crossed the line where I was officially at the nude beach, and I just stripped it all off, and there was definitely a
lot of smiles.
No, because really everyone's there doing their thing, you know.
Did anyone hit on you? Is it a social type aspect?
It's not really, you know, there's a little bit of social aspect, but I think it was more, to be honest, like liberating to be able to just be comfortable with my body in public and not worry about what anyone was thinking. It isn't all nude. Some people are topless. Some have bathing suits, you know. It's a mix, but I thought it was really interesting, and I included it in the song, the panini, eating a panini. Yeah.
You never knew a new beach, Nicole?
No. To be honest, I know everybody tells me I'm beautiful and everything, but I don't have the kind of confidence it would take to rock a naked body at the beach. I just couldn't do that.
Trust me, not every body on a nude beach when you see the other people on the nude beach, you feel very, very comfortable.
I don't think so. I think
it's not all supermodels.
I agree with Mark. I think there's all different shapes at the nude beach. And I think, you know, that the whole idea of going there partially is to just say, I don't care. I don't really care what somebody thinks about what I look like. I'm here to have fun, to do my thing. You know, I'm like a hippie, you know. I think everybody's beautiful. And I think there's way too many hangups on our society about being perfect physically. And that's part of why I included that in the song and why I went to the nude beach. I think it's I think you should go to the nude beach, Nicole. Just because I think it's a healthy thing for everyone, you know. Because once you
have a couple of friends I go to the beach with, if they had invited me to a nude beach, we've got a nude spa. So I guess it's the right company I'd be willing to. But I would still probably have a towel as like a crutch, because I just don't feel that confident in my body.
No, I understand. And doing things like that can build a lot of confidence, I think. You know, I totally understand, because I think the majority of people do feel like that. You know,
when I go to the naked spa, I don't feel so bad. That's all like women, and they're all, mm-hmm. I don't know. I'm not saying no. I'm just saying right now,
yeah.
Probably not. But it's a long life. Like maybe when I'm like 60 and I don't give any fucks, I'll be like, yeah, let's rock out at a new age.
If it's any consolation, I'm confident in your body. But anyway,
thank you.
So, I was watching the video. I watched the video several times, and I watched it very closely. And I know this is an odd question, especially coming from a guy, but were there parts of the video that you stuffed and parts you didn't?
Parts that I what?
You stuffed your Speedo?
Oh, no. There was no Speedo stuffing.
Okay, so you did have a chub at one point.
Straighten the right leg.
You know what?
You notice things different. Damn, Mark. Well,
there is one
there.
Shot towards the end where he's all chubbed up, and then they show another shot where you're not chubbed up.
That's funny. You know, some penises seem to be chubbed even if they're not, I guess. I have one of those.
You didn't get any erections while shooting that?
No, sir. No, there were no points at all that we filmed when I was erect. No, not at all. It was very exciting filming it. But not that kind of excitement.
Oh, okay. Well, and trust me, I know that when the lights are on, the cameras are on, and you're recording, it's tough to get that. It's tough to get that that going. But like I said, there was one angle where you're like, wait a second, and then the next angle, you're like,
That's so really funny. It makes me think.
Speedos make you look. They make you stare.
She said it. Yeah, you know, she said it. That's it.
Because I know that there was a MC Hammer had a video back in the day where he was in a Speedo, pumps in a bum, and he looked like he stuffed a Speedo, but who knows? I don't know. Remember that? Bumps in a bum? Yeah.
I don't know that one. No.
He was going gangster, and yet he filmed a video with a Speedo in his pool. So I don't know how that's gangster, but okay.
It's funny now. You have me thinking like, what it would have felt like if I was filming, and that happened. I would have been like, oh my god, if I was like walking around the downtown area or filming, even with the models or whatever, if that would have happened. And I know it happens to a lot of actors and you know scenes and things like that. But you just made me think of like what I would have felt like if that did happen, because in the Speedo, there's no hiding things.
Right.
Oh, there really isn't.
So someone would have been like, all right, well, maybe we need to take five or something. Let's calm down. Maybe hit a cold shower. No, thankfully, there was none of that.
I've got erections during stand-up comedy performances, but I'm not wearing Speedos on stage, so nobody really noticed. But so he's a Euro now. Lamborghinis and Maseratis, I guess European guys own, they drive those cars.
When I grew up, I would see magazines with cool looking European dudes, and there was always beautiful models, there was always very cool cars, Lamborghinis, Maseratis, and in writing the song Having Fun, kind of making fun of myself a little bit, I also wanted to make sure I paid a due amount of respect to these dudes who, when I was young, were so cool to me. You know, they just looked cool. The outfits, the clothes, the cars, everything, it just looked cool.
Well, it did look cool, but for some reason, and I don't know when this happened, and once again, Nicole, ignore the female side of your bisexuality for a second. At some point, it was hot, and this is when I was a kid. So I mean, this is going back before I reached puberty. But the 70s and 80s, it was cool to be hairy as a guy. Okay. The hottest guys were hairy. Burt Reynolds was hot.
Yes.
Tom Selleck was hot.
Yes.
90s, when I came of age, it was no longer hot. Everybody was shaving, and guys had to be smooth. And what is your opinion on that?
Mine? I agree with you. I'm trying to bring it back. Go ahead.
Sal, do you like guys that are hairy or not?
I like a little hair. I'm one of the guys I'm seeing shaves his chest because he has tattoos, and that's pretty hot too. But I like a little bit of hair. Like I like some hair. But I also, you know, I think that a little bit of hair on either a man or a woman, depending where it is, of course, makes you seem more mature and less. I think a lot of people are attracted to the youth of like bare skin, whereas I like, I, even when I was like a teenager, I was attracted to people in their 30s. I've always liked people around the age of 30 through 40. So I like a little bit of hair.
And well, then you'll like Sal, because Sal is he's very Italian.
And I'm medium hairy, you know, on the scale.
That's what I was talking about.
I'm not a super heavy.
Well, there's this this guy, Neve Schulman, who's the host of Catfish, and he's just covered in hair everywhere, but I think he's hot as hell, so.
Well, I mean, you don't want the hair coming up out of your collar. That's
oh, he has
never,
that.
That's never a good thing.
Oh, yeah, coming out of the collar, that's a look. That's definitely a look.
Yeah, that's very hero.
But if I was wearing like a V-cut shirt and there's just a little bit of hair hinting that manly chest, I dig that shit.
Just a little teaser, hair sticking out.
Yeah.
Although if you got a V-neck shirt, you could do like the Nicolas Cage Valley Girl thing and shave your chest in a V.
Just the V?
You remember Nicolas Cage in that movie Valley Girl in the 80s? And he had that V chest hair. I've never seen it before or since. That's so weird. And you know, there's a girl in the video that puts suntan lotion on you, on your back, and apparently there's some hair on the back. You don't have hair on the back, but yeah, it was just fun for
me. He's Italian. I mean, my friend, he's Jewish, but he's from Jersey, and I sometimes have to shave his back.
Well, if he was Jewish from, if he was Jewish from Chicago or Texas, he wouldn't be hairy, but he's from...
But I mean, he wears... Similar, he's clearly very inspired by Italian cinema and American Italian cinema, and right. So he has a look that's very Italian, even though he's Jewish from Jersey. And he, before dates, like I'm his only female friend, so I'm the only one he feels comfortable with, and I have to shave his back, and I'm like, that would be hard having to do that every day, because if you didn't have a friend to help you shave your back, how do you handle that?
It would be tough. There's that. That's a good product for somebody to come up with, the automatic back shaver. You know.
Well, they do have devices. They have devices that you can use to shave your back. Like there's long things that you can use to shave your back.
Oh, I've never seen that. I've never seen.
I don't know if I trust that. That sounds scary. And just sort of guessing where the hair is.
And Nicole. Well, no, you're supposed to do it in the mirror, but. Nicole, if you need extra cash, I think maybe that's something you can...
A side hustle I should have.
Side hustle on shaving guys' backs.
Back shaver. That's interesting.
But
by the way, they would do guys' hair, and then they would shave like their back, too. Like they would shave like this. They would do both. Like they offered it as a service.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm looking on the Tom Selleck scale. I'm, like I said, I'm about a 5.
Yeah, you're not quite
there. Yeah, no, I'm not too bad.
But and by the way, Nicole, the Jewish guy trying to be Italian, which Andrew Dice Clay popularized, I think Sal will back me up on this. That's called a Jugene, because Italian for cousin is Gugene, but if it's Jewish, a guy trying to be Italian, it's Jugene. So that's that's like Andrew Dice Clay. His real name's Andrew Silverstein. But anyway, I digress. But also, speaking of hair. You have this, you have the look, and it is very European to have the bald head with the beard. Like, hair just stopped right here.
It is quite Euro.
Yes. I can grow hair just up to here. And
just
then
to here, that's
it. Grow hair. That's.
My Jugene friend has the same thing. He's got the beard and the little, yeah, that's what's got going on.
Uh-huh. And that's very Euro.
Yeah.
It is very Euro. Yeah, but I like the smooth head, that's for sure. Feels good.
Well, I think European guys, in addition to being sexually free, I think they're less concerned about the hair.
You're right. 100%. They're less concerned. They just go and do their thing, and they're not conscious of that.
Well, I saw a reaction video. Somebody actually posted a reaction video to Iso Euro, which I think was requested by you. Too. Which is funny, but
uh-huh.
it may have been the worst reaction video I've ever seen, because he like he didn't say anything. Like, he just kind of made.
Well, he did laugh.
What was going on?
He did. No, laugh.
He said it was funny, and he's like,
he did laugh. Yeah, and it was funny. Yeah, and I, you know, for my first reaction video, I was like, okay, that's cool. I just appreciated that he did it.
Yeah.
You know, I share my music on a lot of sites, and I shared it on a Miami filmmaker site, and I noticed a post. You're very perceptive, Mark. I see you notice a lot. I noticed a post where he said, hey, if you want a reaction, send in your video. So I did it.
Yeah.
And for me, it was cool just to see somebody, react to it.
Nice, but
mm-hmm.
And he said it was funny, but I mean, I was waiting for the reaction. He's like, okay, well, that was well edited. I think it was filmed in Miami. I don't know. Leave something in the comments. It's like, it was so innocuous. Like, there was nothing. Like, he said nothing about European guys or the whole subject of the video. It's like, it's kind of nice. It's well edited and shot well. And I'm like, who are you, Steven Spielberg? What did you think of the song in the video? You know?
Right. Well, for me, like I said, it was the first reaction to my video that I saw. So I was just like,
you were just happy to have it.
Yeah, I was happy somebody did it. And I was glad he smiled. You know, he wrote me a few times after that. He really enjoyed the song. He liked doing it. So, but
I think he also probably wanted to like compliment you on a professional level.
Yes, I think you're right. Yeah.
But he could have said on air, gee, that's a great song. I liked it. And I thought it was very funny. But no, the editing was. I like the one cut that he did here. And it's like, come on.
Mm-hmm. Anyway. I think he's a little younger too. You know,
yeah,
I think.
Well, that's just doing reaction videos. And
yeah, I think he's learning at it. You know,
he is learning. I'm gonna start doing reaction videos, I think. But I have a theory on reaction videos is that white people are not good at it. Black people are great at it. That's my and the guy who did yours is black, and he wasn't good at it, but. I just love watching the, oh my God, the Bee Gees are white. It's like, everybody knows that. Come on, give me a break.
Yeah, I know anyway. What you mean. I've seen that before. I've seen the level of emotion is very high
with some of
the reviewers.
But now you performed recently at a fashion night in Miami.
I did. It was very exciting. I performed at the Plymouth in Miami for Planet Fashion TV, Miami Swim Week. Thank you, Andrew Cutno and VIP.
Now, what is Miami Swim Week? Tell me about that.
Miami Swim Week is an event that goes on once a year in Miami.
I figured that.
Yeah. Sports Illustrated is one of the bigger parties. That was at the W. We went over there after the party we did, and it's a great place for a lot of bathing suit designers to showcase their stuff. The whole world comes to Miami for that weekend, and there's parties and shows everywhere. I was really excited to perform on the catwalk. You know that when I found out
that sounds like a blast.
Yeah, when I found out I was doing that. Performing.
So you did it fully clothed. You did not perform the Speedo. Which
you know what's funny, Mark, is so far promoters, there's been a mix. I have some people who say, I was talking to a guy the other day about a show, and he said, or somebody was talking to him, and they said, he does perform, he does put clothes on, right? And then a couple hours later, somebody called me and said, I think we might have a show, and they want you in the Speedo. So it's
a fantastic.
Yeah, it is. It is fantastic.
It's great to have options. It's great to have options.
Yes, options are great. I mean, I always have it on, whether you see it or not. I always have it on. It just gives me that confidence that I need, you know.
It's not constrictive. It's
no, not at all.
I've always been a boxer guy myself. Actually, my dad a few years ago stopped wearing tidy whities and started wearing boxers. He's like, oh, you got to start wearing boxers. It's so much more comfortable. I'm like, I've been wearing boxers for years. I was wearing boxers before you were wearing boxers. But
as a girl, I grew up in the 90s, so I really like boxers. I don't know why, but boxers were so cool in the 90s because, like, this is going to sound dumb, but when I was, like, in middle school and high school, early high school before the 2000s, boys would look up to like hip hop and like all this different stuff. So they would drop their jeans about an inch lower and sag, and they would show just the hem of the boxers, which as if, you know, you're hitting puberty as a girl.
I remember.
Yeah. So I like boxers because I like had a sexual awakening during the time of boxers.
Well, maybe after tonight, you'll have a sexual awakening about Speedos.
I don't mind them. I'm just not, I really like boxers.
That's great.
Salgorithm. Go ahead.
I'm a boxer brief. Boxer brief if I'm not in the Speedo.
Okay, but you're in the
Speedo. They look so much more comfortable, you know what I mean? Like, there's room to breathe. Yeah.
Yeah, I just...
But I prefer the nude beach. I prefer the nude beach over
it all. It needs to flap around. I don't like it constricted. I can't even imagine a thong, how uncomfortable that would be. But, you know, I got to have it... Nice and just.
Yeah, they don't look very comfortable, those thongs. No.
I don't know. Maybe another friend
who I'm very close to, who's a male erotic dancer, and so he gives me magnets, and they're very sexy. And it's him in a thong, and he has different thongs depending on the theme. Sometimes he's a police officer, and then he wears a blue thong or a blue bow tie.
Makes sense.
I don't think algorithm was counting on all this thong talk, but if you've heard our show, you knew something.
Thong for the thong, thong, thong.
Well, I've also been drinking Fireball this entire episode, so
I saw that, and I'm glad. Is that and your birthday's coming up, so we'll have to make sure you have Fireball then. Anyway, you were going to say you have, this came out a few weeks ago. It's still a very new song, and I think it just has the potential to be a thong song type of thing. Maybe it's a completely different music industry, obviously, but I can see this taking off. You're saying that people in Europe are now finally starting to notice.
Yes, my YouTube numbers went from the first week or two were lower compared to the United States, and now it's completely reversed. The numbers in the US are still good, but the UK numbers have just been pushing up and pushing up. So it's exciting.
And what's the reaction? Are they pissed? Are they complimented? Are they bemused? You know what?
So far, the reaction has been great. It really has. I haven't heard one reaction of anybody who was offended by it. So I'm sure it's going to come. You know, there's always going to be that side of people who don't appreciate what you do. But no, so far, everything's been good from reaction-wise. And
so you're taking your background as a serious musician. And now you're going to make people laugh, which is that's what Steel Panther did. They were serious musicians and said, screw it, we'll just goof around and do funny songs. I mean, Weird Al can't have the whole market for himself. Right?
We don't have a new Weird Al. Where's this generation's Weird Al?
There he is, right here. It's Salgorithm right here. Salgorithm, tell everybody what you got going on and how they can get on.
Well, what we got going on is the new video out called He's So Euro on YouTube. Please come check it out. Please share it. On Instagram, I'm salgo.rhythm. Come check out the Instagram. Been doing some recording some new stuff and been rehearsing with a new group. So I'll be sharing some of that stuff soon. We got some shows coming right now. I'm waiting on word of a couple shows in the works that I can announce soon. And that's it. Cowboys on Camels coming soon. That's the next video.
They're very politically incorrect as well.
Yes, we're going to do it again.
Yeah, piss off the whole world one continent at a time.
One continent at a time. That's it. That's it.
Well, Salgorithm, it's been a pleasure. We love having you. Please come back. And, when Nicole and I move to Miami, we're going to hang out with you and Elaine and all.
Oh, I would love that. We're going to the nude beach.
We're all going to the nude beach. Yeah. And Nicole, by the way, Salgorithm, check out Nicole's new poetry book, Slow Burn, available at Hulu.com and Nicole's
Hulu.com.
I always say Hulu.
I will. Hulu.com. Okay, maybe you send me a link to that through our message thing or something. I'd like to see that.
All right, thanks.
Yes. Lulu.com, not Hulu.
Lulu.com. And I'm at Nicole Six Books on Instagram. Add me on Instagram. I'll add you back.
I look forward to checking it out.
Yeah.
And it's Nicole's birthday coming up. So everybody wish her happy birthday.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you.
Very Euro.
Happy birthday, Nicole. Happy birthday to you.
Yeah.
Hope you have a great day and a great year. Again, thank you guys. Mark, thank you so much for having me on.
No problem. Have a happy Euro birthday, Nicole. And when you have your party at Venice Beach, I'll wear a speedo. Just because I'll be in the, I want people to know that I'm so Euro and I'm goth comedian and all social media. Everybody have a wonderfully creepy week. Bye.
Bye.